Would you stay here just a moment, please?
Oh, yeah, kids church can be dismissed. You're good. They can hear me.
Okay, please don't leave yet.
Okay.
Because in the native culture, when they accept somebody or, when they want to acknowledge a person, they gift them.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, and I'd like to gift you. And this is one of Gordon's. This is my favorite.
Oh.
It's called Gallery.
Oh, thank you.
And usually they start with their territory. Thank you for letting us come into your territory.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. And then, Janine, where are you, my girl? I'd like to give you one, too. And this is not one of Gordon's. It's called We Speak Life, and it's about the natives. First Nations is what I was told to call them, but when I grew up, it was natives. Yeah. Thank you, Jadid, for who you are and what you do, my girl. I know, she is amazing. Okay, I think I'm done.
Okay.
My name is Cheryl McGriff. My native name is Shatikwanekwe, and which means head lady. I'm from Belcourt, North Dakota, Turtle Mountain. Hi, Vicky. Turtle Mountain Indians, North Dakota. And my heart belongs to hurting women. And that's the call that Gideon called, if you could believe that. to the natives and to women. We did bring Gordon here for several reasons. One is because he's part of our book. Tears are a language that God understands. And actually, tears are a language God understands. He coined that. And I called him up and I says, Gordon, could we please use that on our book? And he said, yes. And I used to have a little group called Sisters, and it evolved into Sister Warriors. Well, anyway, I had called him up earlier. I met him. I don't know if any of you know Katie Fortune. No, she started to glow. You know what a glow is? Yeah, you do. Well, anyway, being a friend, I was at her house one time, and she had Gordon, and I got to sit under that, and I bought some of his tapes, CDs, I believe, and it just escalated from there. But anyway, he had another song out. I don't know if you're going to sing it today, but it is We're Together Again. Has anyone heard that song or not? Yes. We used to sing it at the beginning of all of our meetings. Yeah. Let me see. I wanted to... I don't know, I really wanted to stress how much that we really want people's hearts to be healed. And, you know, coming here, before I hand out any more things, I'm going to read this because when I was in the bathroom, I thought, no, maybe I better not read that or not. And then the Lord's been working on me. You know, sometimes we don't feel like our gift is really good or good enough. We're working through it. And we have to go through a lot of things sometimes before that gift can be manifested. Well, anyway, because I want people to be healed almost every time I'm with them. I don't know, it's just innate. I don't have it memorized or anything, so I'll have to read it. But I feel... it is for someone here, at least one person. It says, one of the greatest problems many people have today is that they do not think well of themselves. They need to know that God's word teaches them to love themselves. Since the word commands us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, see Matthew 19:19, He must think that it is important to love ourselves as it is to love others. But it's not enough just to love ourselves. We must also like ourselves. I learned this truth several years ago when I was having a terrible time getting along with other people. I discovered the reason I had so much trouble getting along with others was that I was not getting along with myself. If you do not like yourself, you will have a hard time liking anyone else. You may pretend you do, but pretense does not alter fact. Sooner or later, the truth will come out. Every one of us is supposed to be a powerhouse for God. Living in balance and harmony within ourselves and with others. In order to do that, we must not have not only the right attitude towards others, but also the right attitude towards ourselves. We need to be at peace with our past, content with our present, and sure about our future. Knowing it is all in God's hands, we need to be stable, rooted, and grounded in the love of God as expressed in His Son, Jesus Christ. Because we are rooted and grounded in love, we can be relaxed and at ease, knowing that our acceptance is not based on our performance or our perfect behavior. We can be secure in the knowledge that our value and worth are not dependent upon who we are or what we think or say or do. It is based on who we are in Christ Jesus and what He's done for us. Secure in our knowledge of who we are in Him, we can give up our masks and facades. Praise God. We do not have to pretend anymore. We do not have to be a phony. Instead, we are free to be simply to be ourselves, just as we are. We are also free to love ourselves, and that will enable us to love others too. Yes, and I just really feel that someone needed that. My notes, they just flew away. Okay, I want to continue giving away these things. This is Sister Warriors, and how we're going to do this. Sister Warriors, we're going to pick a number from 1 to 50. And could we go quickly like this? Anyone that would like, let's see, the Sister Warriors first, the shirt. Okay, just call out, I guess, then. Okay. Okay. 13. Yeah, keep going. Oh, okay, you got it, my girl. You're welcome. Okay, now, a book. As we compiled a lot of, little Zachariah comes here once in a while, I think. Oh, he's on vacation. Okay. Well, he gave me a word, and he said, you're going to write a book. And you're going to write another book. Well, I had just started a book. We had just started compiling a bunch of women's testimonies. They're profound. If I had time, I'd read you at least one. And if you start this, one of my favorites is about the knives and a person that wanted to commit suicide. And she was very serious. Anyway, okay, let's go for a bunch of numbers again. Okay, I know the number. Okay. 34, 37, 1, 8, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 100, 101, 102, 103, 104, 105, 106, 107, 108, 109, 110, 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, 119, 120, 121, 122, 123, 124, 125, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 131, 132, 133, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, 140, 141, 142, 143, 144, Badlands girl. You will love it.
Thank you. You pass it on. Wow, I will.
Good. Okay, now, this is thrilling. I want to tell you just a little bit about Gordon. If I can get some of my notes here, because I usually say it wrong. Gordon's been nominated 5 times Songwriter of the Year through Dove Awards. 5 times Top Songs of the Year. I know. Plus, I'll tell you a little about Gordon. When he writes songs, I'm telling you it comes from Jesus, because it comes from the heart. And Jesus was always about heart, wasn't he? From a very young age, Gordon has been faithfully stewarding his gifts and talents for God's kingdom. He's a musician, songwriter, and has written over 300 songs, which have been recorded by artists such as The Imperials, Lionel Harris, and others. Many of his songs have been used in Bill Gaither's homecoming videos. Gordon says that no matter where he goes, his goal is to exalt the Lord through the gifts God has entrusted to him. Nothing of real value can occur if done for any other purpose. Now that's Gordon's, and it's true. He's a very gentle, kind man through all my dealings with him. But Gordon's brother is here, and his name is Grady. Can you hold up your hand at least? Okay, there you go. And he's accompanying him on this trip. I preferred that because Gordon has been very ill at times recently, but God has brought him through. Okay, so we appreciate Grady coming with him. He's the pastor of Open Arms Church in Livonia, Michigan, where he is working with others to restore abandoned Detroit homes and fill them with families. I mean, he's doing a wonderful work. And one time I was walking out of his church. I had gone there just a couple times, but I don't know why the Lord showed me, but he did. He was standing there, and we were just conversing a bit, but the Lord let me see the inside of him. And I've never really, I don't think, ever seen inside of a person before, but I saw his spirit, the man that he is, the one that Jesus looks at. And he says, I mean, I just got to see it, and I knew that he was a man of integrity. That was the main thing I got, a man of integrity and a man of honor. That's what Jesus, he's happy with him. So, okay, I did the CD, right? And then, oh, I do want to do one more thing if you don't, two more things. One is, we're a 501c3, but we're doing another book. Does anyone know Fran Lance? You do, okay. Fran is a friend. She's been a friend many years. And she wrote a book years ago, Tell Your Secret. And it was very graphic. If you've ever read it, you'll know that, but you see the success at the end. You know what God did in her. And what we have here, a heartbreaking story of sexual abuse and how the loving hand of God brought new life out of ashes. So she called me up one day and she said, you know what, you can have our book, her book, and do anything you want with it. So, you know, we're a 501c3, so we just put that under there, and here's what it's going to look like. It's almost done. Cindy, a little gal that is a part of Sister Warriors, has done a lot of work, let me tell you. And isn't that cool? It's ashes and something growing out of it. But that's how it's going to look, and about the thickness. Yeah, it really is. Did I give away a CD? I did? Now. Okay, good. Okay. This is Gordon. and it's called I'm Listening, Lord. And we wanted to give that away too. Okay, we need another number again. Okay.
9.
Just keep going. You can guess again if it's not right. 2. Who said 2?
You did.
Okay, it's yours. She's right in the middle, hon. Okay, I think that's about all I had to say. But this little gal that was up here before, I don't know her name. She's a powerhouse. Oh, my land. Oh, no, I cannot believe it. I forgot one thing. Is it okay? Thank you. What? Pardon me? Okay, numbers from 1 to 10. But there's more than 10 people here. Okay, keep going. Okay. I'll tell you what it's for. I wrote a little, it's a sort of like a story and a coloring book. And I'll just give you briefly what it is about. Well, Buster Bee, he used to be a real stinger. And one day when he was out stinging, he had just stung someone. And he just was looking around for someone to sting, and he ended up crashing into a tree, and he got sort of knocked out. But when he woke up, he found himself in some hands, and it was Jesus. And then Jesus said, basically, fly again. But I'll just read you the last page. Whoever gets this, the little ones are going to learn something. Okay. Buster did not know how to be kind or how to love people, nor did he want to work hard until that very day, the day Jesus healed him and everything changed. So if you ever see a bee or even a person and they are sort of stingers, like Buster, the bee was, it is just because they have not met Jesus yet. See, so just basics. Now we'll do numbers.
6, 4, 1.
What did you say? You girls. Yay. You're welcome. Well, I love all of you already. Oh, my land. Thank you. God bless you, and we'll let Gordon take over. And you will just, you'll be happy. He's outrageously wonderful.
Thank you, Cheryl. Good to be here. A new beginning. Family Christian Center, Port Orchard, Washington. Yeah. I noticed that water is very popular out here. Noticed that. Yeah. In fact, having said that, I'm going to take the lid off of this and set it down. Okay. I appreciate Sister Warriors and appreciate them using that song as a title on that book. But I have enjoyed meeting them this last 10 days, 2 weeks. It's nearly over. We're flying home Tuesday morning. It's almost over. It's gone by quickly. But I noticed that mountains are very popular out here, too. Yeah, I noticed that. And they're big. You have big mountains in the Northwest. Yeah. Unlike back east. In fact, there's a town I've worked in called Poto, Oklahoma. No, it's Arkansas, Poto. And their claim to fame is that they're home of the highest hill. And that's right, home of the highest hill. That's their claim. It's, I think, 14 feet shy of being a mountain, legally and officially. Yeah, I've been so tempted to take a dump truck full of dirt up there and putting it into the class of mountains, but it would be a small mountain. Yeah. But you got Rainier here. I've been coming to the Northwest for a lot of years. I was out here before Mount St. Helens blew her top, and was out here a few years later. It was amazing to me, the devastation. Lord, keep Mount Rainier under control. Yeah, just keep it under wraps. Amen. I've got a song about mountains, and been singing this a long time. Is the band ready to play, Charles? Crank them up and let's do it. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all the confusion, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Help me sing the chorus now. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Sing now. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. One more time. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I cannot see. bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Yeah, amen. Amen. I've got a little paperback book at home that I was given when I was a teenager. It's the life story of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was a great American evangelist, sort of a Billy Graham of his day. He never preached outside of the United States. The boy, he had a powerful ministry. And there was a story that he used to tell to illustrate one of his famous sermons. It was a story about a man who played a big role financially in the later years of his ministry, making it possible. But the man should have died during the Civil War in this country. During those years, he was a member of a group called Quantrell's Raiders. And they were Confederates using guerrilla warfare tactics. They would slip up over the Mason-Dixon line and raid small towns and disappear into the night. One night, they staged a raid inside the Iowa border coming from Missouri. This time, there had been a tip to the Union military, and they were waiting. And when they pulled their net in, they had all but one. A teenage boy managed to escape, but he stayed nearby, and they had a hasty trial. The men, of course, were found guilty and condemned to die by a firing squad. And when the hour of execution arrived, the condemned men were lined up. A firing squad took its place, and the boy who had escaped was nearby in hiding. And just before the order could be given, he rushed out of hiding, startled the whole proceeding, rushed up to the commanding officer. He said, wait, hold on just a minute, sir. I think you should know I was one of them, but you didn't bring me here today. I came here by my own choice and decision. And he pointed to a man in the line. He said, that man is my friend. He has a wife and children. I've got nobody. And I'd like to take his place if you'll let him go. Well, apparently that officer had the authority to make such a decision on the spot. He thought it was a very noble gesture. And he said, well, young man, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. And so a man walked out of the line, and the young man walked into it. Moments later, the sound of the shots had faded out, and lifeless on the ground lay a number of bodies. Not in that number one who should have been. The life was spared by the selfless act of that boy. At the end of the war, that man who was spared went into business, found he had great ability, became a very wealthy man, and in later years, he financed a lot of the Billy Sunday ministry. Isn't that something? Years after it happened, he had a beautiful monument placed on the grave of the boy, and he wrote this inscription, sacred to the memory of Willie Lee, he took my place in the line. He died for me. And folks, isn't that about as powerful an illustration as we could get concerning what Christ has done for every one of us? He took our place in the line. He died for us. Amen. I was guilty. Had nothing to say. And they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go. Take me instead, when I should have been crucified. And I should have suffered and died. And I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. The crown of thorns and the spear in his side, and all the pain should have been mine. The rusty nails were meant for me, but Jesus took them and let me go free. When I should have been crucified, oh, and I should have suffered and died, and I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Yes, and I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, Jesus, God's Son, Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Amen. Thank God he did. Amen. Yeah. Amen. There are a lot of things in this life that we don't understand. In fact, there are a lot of things we're never going to understand in this life. We'll eventually understand them, but not here. And, you know, that's what faith and living by faith is all about. We walk by faith, not by sight. My pastor brother, Grady, is here. His daughter, Audrey, and her friend are here today. And Grady and I were born in Canada. There are aliens among you, okay? All right, Canada. From Windsor, Ontario. That's suburban Detroit, Michigan. Let me throw some more trivia at you. Detroit, Michigan is north of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Some of you say, I don't believe that. Well, my friend Rand McNally will confirm that if you want to check it out. Yeah. But I spent my first 8 years in Windsor, and Grady is 4 years younger than me. I'm a little envious of that now. I'm envious of a year, a month, whatever. But when I was 8, my family left Canada, moved to the U.S. of A., moved us to Arizona in the desert southwest, lived in Mesa for about 7 years. That's where I met mountains, and couldn't have written that song had it not been for that. But most people move to the desert southwest to get the benefit of the climate. I went there to get respiratory problems. And almost immediately I had them, and several years I had recurring asthmatic bronchitis and pneumonia. I was in the hospital twice a year, one time for 2 weeks, and quite ill with it. Well, my parents were strong believers, and they believed in the miraculous and saw it in their lives and family. Our paternal grandmother, her name was Inga Jensen. She was from Norway. And became very sick in the early 1920s. In 1925, a team of doctors gave her 1 year to live if she remained bedfast. Well, she had a sister named Annie who had just bought a book that had just been published called Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. And Annie took the book to her sister and she read it, and she wrote a letter to Smith Wigglesworth in Bradford, England, and requested an anointed prayer cloth. Prayer cloths are very scriptural, folks. And if you're going to believe in miracles, you've got to believe that God uses things like that. And in fact, she got a letter in the mail back from Smith, and there was an anointed prayer cloth in that envelope. And my brother has that letter framed and hanging in his office in Livonia, Michigan. So they took the cloth out, several believers and family, they gathered around her and laid that on her body. She got out of bed and lived 39 more years in very good health. Yeah. It's amazing. Great miracle. And so my family believed in the power of God and healing miracles. And my mom and dad, in a humble way, supported the Oral Roberts ministry. And Oral came to Phoenix in 1963, July, and set his tent up at the fairgrounds. And my folks said, Gordon, we're going to get you over there and get you prayed for by Oral. And, you know, God will use any believer. But Oral had a very special calling and anointing on him. So it was a 10-day crusade. We went over the first night, and I got signed up to be prayed for. Now, that big tent seated 12,000 people. It was a big tent. There weren't any auditoriums in that size range in those days, so they went with the big tents. And I got signed up along with several thousand people who wanted to be prayed for that week. We went every night. And on the ninth night, I said to my dad, there's no point in us even coming back. It's obvious they're never going to get to call my number. There's just too many people in front of me. Let's not even go. My dad said, we're going. And we went. And I remember at the end of that service, Oral's associate evangelist named Deweese stood up and he said, tonight, Brother Roberts is going to lay hands on everybody who has not been prayed for yet. If you've got a number, a letter, he's going to do it. And I'm thinking, how is he going to do it? Well, they tied ropes from pole to pole to pole around that tent. And they said, now, if you've got a number, a letter, haven't been prayed for, get up in tight formation against the ropes. And we only ask that you don't engage Brother Roberts in conversation. So I got up against the rope, and I stood there 30, 40 minutes. And then I saw him coming my way. He was coming. Two men were holding him up. His suit was drenched with perspiration. He was speaking in tongues, laying his hands on people as he went. And finally, he got to me, laid his hands on me, and then he's gone to the next person. And I'm standing there thinking, well, where's the angel orchestra? Where's the fireworks? You know, the thunder on Sinai. I didn't feel a thing. Now, folks, I want to say something. You probably already know this. You don't have to feel anything to get healed. You don't have to get the shakes. You don't have to feel warmth or coolness or anything else. You don't have to fall out. Sometimes people do, and that's okay. But I felt nothing. But I will tell you this. That was the end of it. Never had another respiratory problem. I'm still waiting, Pastor. I'm still waiting. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, as the years begin to move on, I got involved in ministry. I started traveling with a gospel group, writing songs. One thing led to another. Actually served a year as a youth pastor of our church in Detroit. And then I went back on the road, but this time solo, and began to pray for the sick in meetings. In fact, today, before it's all over, if you want prayer with the laying on of hands, anointing with oil, we will do that. We do that over and over again, and we see God heal people. I have seen blind eyes open, deaf ears hear. I've seen broken bones healed instantly. Now, folks, you can't fake that stuff. You can't pretend. Either God's doing miracles or he's not. So, anyway, I began to pray for the sick. And for the last 25, 30 years, I've been doing that. And I had good health. But 3 years ago, it changed. Now, Oral, when he would pray for people in his tent, he would always say, we believe God heals in one of four ways. He heals through climate. He heals through love and understanding. He heals through doctors and medical science. And he heals through supernatural miracles. And we know that's true. That covers the bases, really. And 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it was stage 2-3 right in there. And the urologist in my town said, Gordon, we need to do surgery. We need to surgically remove the prostate. Well, I wasn't interested in that. But he was a surgeon. People do what they know how to do, okay? And surgeons like to do surgery. So, anyway, I wasn't wanting to do that. Now, there's a small church in my area where I've been connected for many years, and there's a woman, a doctor, an oncologist who's spirit-filled. Her name is Shipley. And she said to me after a service one Sunday, Gordon, you don't need to have surgery, but I want you to go to Franklin and see Dr. Jim Gray. Jim Gray had a proton beam clinic. There are about 20 to 30 of those across America now. There's a $100 million facility where they do Star Wars-type radiation. So I went down there, met the doctor. I had 20 proton beam treatments. They wanted to do 35 to 40, but after 20, they said, Gordon, we're done with you. We got it all. And you don't need any more. And that's been 3 years ago. My last two PSAs were right around zero. And that's a good number. Yeah, good number. Well, I got done with that. And then I managed to meet up with this thing called COVID. I went in the hospital for 10 days and then a rehab facility for 20 after that. So that's a month. And I recovered from that. Praise God. I get done with that. And my daughter, Holly, who's quite an observer and researcher, she said, Dad, you have NPH. I said, what? You have NPH. Have you noticed that we are drowning in acronyms in this country? Acronyms, yeah. NPH. So I had to do a little research of my own and went to a neurologist who said, you have NPH. And he said, we need to treat that with surgery. We're going to drill a hole in your head and we're going to implant a drain, a shunt, run some tubes down into your abdomen. They can't cure the condition, they can ameliorate the symptoms. So I had that surgery last October, and sure enough, that's what they did. So one thing I won't say anymore is I need that like I need a hole in the head. Okay, I'm not saying that anymore. I'm done with that. But they did that and installed the shunt. And within just a couple of weeks, now, one of the symptoms was I was taking little 4-6-inch steps on a walker and had other very significant symptoms. Within a couple of weeks, they were 80% gone. And I'm still walking a little slow, but it's all right. You should have seen me before. So thank you, and thank you, medical science. Where do you think they got what they know? Don't ever be ashamed to go to a doctor or have medical treatment. I've known some people who got into the extreme and they wouldn't do it. And some of those people are not with us because they wouldn't do it. And however God heals, God heals. And we thank Him for that. So I've got a song called Heaven Holds All the Secrets That Time Will Never Tell. Go ahead, Charles. Questions at times that question my faith. Pieces to puzzles I never could fit into place. But a voice deep within says, child, trust me and be of good cheer. It all clear. Heaven holds all the answers that we'll never know till we're there. All the reasons for all of our trials, our burdens and cares. In the presence of Jesus will know and understand well. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell. Doors that won't open, storms and painful goodbyes. Confusion, my mouth with the words, dear Lord, why? But He whispers, my child, hold my hand and keep following me. Someday heaven will focus the picture that now you can't see. Jesus will know and understand well. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell. Heaven holds all the secrets that time will never tell. Charles, let's go right on to that next song. And it's, he's got to change discs. My traveling group, we call them the Disc Brothers Band. You'll never see them, but they do a pretty good job. Yeah. So as soon as you get it, play it and let's do it. And you can join me on the choruses. Verses 2 if you want, if you know it. When God's people get together, you know that very soon wonderful things are gonna happen as His presence fills the room. And right now I am expecting something special, something more. We're together again, praising the Lord. We're together again, praising the Lord. We're together again. In one accord, something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. Together again, praising the Lord. People got together in the upper room. They were waiting on the promise of what Jesus said He would do. And when the Spirit fell from heaven, oh, what joy it did afford. They were together back then, and they were praising the Lord. Help me sing it now. We're together again, the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, praising the Lord. And someday we'll part with parting, gonna tell goodbye, goodbye. When God's people get together in heaven by and by. Oh my, what rejoicing. But this time forevermore we'll be together again, and we'll be praising the Lord. Everybody sing, we're together again, praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, praising the Lord. We're together again, praising the Lord. Together again, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's the first song that kids learn in Sunday school? That's it. Pastor knows. He's got it. That's the one. My brother and I were talking a couple days ago, and there was a great notable theologian named Karl Barth, and at the end of his life somebody asked him, well, with all of your study, what's the greatest thing you ever learned? His answer, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Gets back to basics, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I've got a song about that song. Sometimes songwriters get desperate and we write songs about other songs. So I've got one, though, that we're going to do. And go ahead, Charles, when you're ready, we'll do it. There's a song I started singing as a child
in Sunday school. It made me feel so good to sing it. I loved it then, and I still do. 30 kids in an old church basement with one piano out of tune. Have you been there? And Mrs. Brown would ask for favorites. And when I'd raise my hand, she already knew the sweetest song this side of heaven, sung by children young and old. The sweetest song this side of heaven, 'cause Jesus loves me. Simple too, but what makes the song so special is just knowing it's oh so true. The sweetest song this side of heaven, sung by children young and old. Jesus loves me, this I know. The sweetest song this side of heaven.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The sweetest song this side of heaven.
That's the one. I believe that's it. I'd love to share a couple more songs. Okay. I don't know. I didn't ask what time the service is normally over. Oh, when I'm done, he said. Well, when does the sun go down? Okay. The Sister Warriors have a book entitled Tears Are a Language. God understands. And it's the title of a song that goes way back. And I want to share it in just a moment. The Bible says that God actually bottles our tears. That's quite a thought. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. A weeping God. Think of that. Jesus wept a number of times, many times. And it's just part of the spectrum of human emotion and expression, weeping. And Jesus stood outside of the tomb of his friend Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier. And then he purposely stayed away for 4 days. Think of that. Because that family was very near and dear to him. And the sisters, Mary and Martha, said, if only you had come sooner. If only you had come sooner. And Jesus looked at them and said, you need to understand something. I am the resurrection and the life. You're looking at him right now. But he wept at that tomb, and no doubt in solidarity with those women who were so brokenhearted, grieving. He would weep as he looked at the multitudes that had so much need. And he felt compassion for them, and you can be sure there were tears involved. He looked out over the city of Jerusalem that desperately needed him, but rejected him. And he wept. Yeah, he did. Well, somebody said if Jesus had not said, Lazarus, come forth, if he had not named him, that perhaps all the graves in the area would have opened. But Lazarus did make his way to the entrance of the tomb, and he was bound in grave clothes and embalmed according to their way of doing it. And so Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That actually did not originate with R.W. Shambaugh, although we love to hear him preach. But Jesus said it, and they did. They took the grave clothes that bound him off of him, and he lived several years after that. And it's amazing to me, Pastor, that when they wanted to arrest Jesus and kill him, they thought, well, we better get Lazarus too, because he's evidence. Now, think about the twisted thinking of people who are going to arrest and kill a man that had been raised from the dead 4 days after he... I mean, that's bizarre thinking, isn't it? Some would call it stinking thinking. But I'm telling you, that's what happened. Yeah. But tears are a language that God understands. Let's do the song, brother.
Understands God.